Good afternoon, colleagues. We're happy to welcome you to the third press conference in a series of events dedicated to the general shareholders meeting of PGC Gazprom. We're going to discuss gas supply to the domestic market and execution of the Russian region's gasification program, that is, gas distribution around regions. We have head of department, Mr. Gennady Suchov, and general director of Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, Mr. Sergei Gustov, here. Over to them, and then we'll proceed to the questions from the media. Good afternoon, colleagues. We welcome all participants of this press conference. It is our first experience in this particular setup to discuss the subject matter in question. So if something goes not as you are used to, you're welcome to suggest any improvements to us, and we'll be happy to adjust. The subject of today's press conference is well known to everyone, I guess, who have read the materials. We have decided to split our presentation into two parts. One is about gas supply to the domestic markets and collecting of payments, and the other one to discuss the gasification program, gas distribution within the Russian regions. Now, if I may, let me take you quickly through the slides of the first part of the presentation, and then I'll hand over to Mr. Gustov to continue with the presentation, and then we'll get questions from the floor. Let's start with page one of the presentation available to you. Based on the results of 2018, Gazprom Group increased its sales in the domestic market by more than 4.3% year on year, as compared to the full year results of gas sales in 2017. It must be noted, however, that the weather was helpful indeed. In the first and the fourth quarters, the winter was rather lengthy and relatively cold. Hence, most of the gas supply volumes were increased towards the energy industry, households, and also communal facilities, such as heat distribution networks. Our average realized price went up in the course of 2018, but again, please note that this price is calculated separately for industrial off-takers and the households. So I'm expecting questions from you, like what was the price exactly? I can't answer really, because in that case you need to analyze and disclose the full breakdown for every region in question. However, as the average realized price is up, our revenue is obviously up as well for the full year of 2018. Gazprom carries on its sales of gas at the commodity exchange. That is 13.6 billion cubic meters sold in 2018 as a commodity exchange exercise, while the share of sales has remained the same, like 87%, and there is a slight decrease in absolute terms, which is explained by certain specifics of operations of industrial off-takers in summertime last year. Well, now, if you consider our gas prices at off-taking point grow at peak sales when everyone needs the gas, that is clearly observed on the chart. Now let's continue to the second page of the presentation. Gazprom ensures reliable supply of gas to off-takers within Russia. And we clearly see an increase of that supply, mostly coming via Mezhregion Gas, that is a Gazprom subsidiary, selling 3.7% more gas as compared to 2017 full year. The breakdown is observed in the pie chart on the right page, on the right part of the page. It's pretty much the same breakdown: electric power generation industry, other industries, and also heating networks and basically, if you consider page 3, you'll see that our key challenge is receivables. You know these charts pretty well, and as you can see, we have an increase of 6.2% in receivables year-on-year as at the end of 2018. The trends keep changing, so we can't say it's a continued trend over the years, but clearly this has been caused by increased sales to households and heat suppliers who mostly accumulate the receivables in question, and the breakdown can be observed on the bar charts in the bottom part of the page. Now over to page four. Most of the debt or receivables remain with the heat supply chains and energy companies. I'm not going to discuss this in more detail because the breakdown remains the same for years. This is caused by systemic or chronic problems that are not changing. We keep working with the receivables, but I think some cardinal measures are required. Over to page five. Companies owned by municipalities have reduced their receivables to Gazprom by 1.1%. It must be noted, however, that their share is that 93% out of their debt is represented by companies or entities that follow under the auspices of the Ministry of the Defense. We are trying to work with them as well. Now, the electric power industry, you can see the breakdown as at the 1st of April. Well, normally, such companies try to accumulate the debt over the winter and move the payment further to the right, as we call it. The situation is there. It's changing. I don't think I can provide any further comment. Page six now. Household debt for gas. That has increased by 8.4% in the course of 2018. A significant share of that comes from the Northern Caucasus and the republics within that federal district. $68.6 billion, or nearly 89% of the total debt, resides within this type of households, the off-takers coming from the Northern Caucasus federal district. Over to page seven. Lack of regular payments and remains the main problem. With only 7% of offtake, regions of the Northern Caucasus Federal District have contributed more than 52% of all receivables outstanding. Next page is number eight. Now, Gazprom is clearly taking measures to reduce the outstanding receivables, that's a systemic effort. Gazprom has certain regions within its portfolio that demonstrate a very good dynamics in reducing its outstanding or their outstanding debt for particular types of off-takers, such as heat distribution networks, for example. Now, in the course of 2018, we signed off 21 repayment schedules with different regions to reduce their debt. However, as at the end of the year, those were met by no more than 30% only. Nine regions within Russia have failed to deliver on those payment schedules completely. I can give the names, such as Udmurtia, Chuvashia, Vladimir region, Volgograd, Orenburg, Penza, Pskov, Saratov, and Ulyanovsk regions. So, the most efficient leverage that, the most effective leverage that we have is obviously cutting off gas supply, which we really wouldn't want to undertake. Now, page 9. Page 9 demonstrates our efforts to improve the regulatory framework governing this particular area, trying to optimize gas settlement operations, reduce the losses, and also streamline our litigation procedures for measuring on gas group. This is a systemic effort again. So the numbers in this matrix keep changing across the time, so I don't think it would be right to take a snapshot and comment because, well, for each date in question, the numbers could be changing now and then. Over to page 10. Gazprom Group is undertaking an effort to work together with the law enforcement organizations. This slide sums up the outcome of that effort. As a result, more than 75% of all violations within Russia are focused within the Republics of Northern Caucasus. Just a quick comment, 192 court hearings held 154 people responsible for illegal connection to gas pipelines and theft of gas. Now, page 11. Here, I would like to explain what measures we undertake to improve our receivables collection. Again, we work with law enforcement agencies, mostly in republics within the Federal District of Northern Caucasus. It must be noted that in the course of 2018, we filed more than 15,700 claims within the Republics of Northern Caucasus, and those resulted in more than 7,000 criminal and administrative cases instigated, and more than 5,000 decisions were made in favor of Gazprom to hold people liable. Now, this concludes my presentation, and I would like to give the floor over to Mr. Sergei Gustov, General Director of Gazprom Medregion Gas, to discuss the gas supply or gasification program to the Russian regions. Thank you. Colleagues, friends, it has been a month now in this position of the General Director, CEO of Gazprom Medregion Gas. You have heard most of the numbers from Mr. Sukhov. I'm going to say a few words and then proceed with the questions, because I guess it's a press conference, so questions are the focal part here. Well, we're mostly ready, and we'll be happy to answer most of your questions. If not, then we'll be happy to take those as homework. Well, obviously, you can't learn everything in detail across the country in just 1 month in office, but I'll manage. Now, in 2018, Gazprom Medregion Gas transported 227 billion cubic meters of gas, 3.4% up year on year. We have pretty much completed the consolidation program for gas distribution networks. 744,000 kilometers of distribution networks. These are pipelines that Gazprom Medregion Gas is in charge of. We keep going to reduce the timeline for new connections. And we have managed to get Federal Law 330 improved to simplify the new connections procedure. That effort is going to be carried on because the simplified project documentation procedure and commissioning procedure could really streamline and the process and optimize the cost as well as the timing for new connections. We have seen a 36% increase in new applications to 210,000 new connections. 102,000 new facilities were connected. That is a significant increase year on year. So for the year of 2018, we have the number of cubic meters per hour So basically, the number of cubic meters per hour define the properties of a gas transportation system. And you see the number here of 1.2 million. Next page, number 13, a major priority for gas, from Mezregion Gas, is the gasification program for the Russian regions. Or that means actually taking gas closer to the households. Since the program started in 2005, Gazprom has invested more than 361 billion rubles, including 36.7 billion invested in the course of 2018. The degree of gasification went up from 53.3 to 58.6. That's 71.9 in cities and 71.4 in rural areas. So we built 410 facilities and 66 different regions and designed 537 more. One key challenge in the gasification program is failure by regional authorities to comply with their obligation to prep the new off-takers. Given that the population within districts to which we take our pipeline cannot get access to the gas, and we invest into frozen assets, effectively. In the course of 2005 through 2018, only 10 regions have fully 100% complied, and that is explained in the page in front of you, number 14. 34 regions have slight lag, which is quite good, and then five regions fail to comply completely, and the rest are significantly behind schedule. So safety is another important matter. That's page 15. We are very much in very much focused on ensuring good maintenance of gas equipment in houses and apartments. And Gazprom Mezregion Gas has outlined it on numerous occasions that the owners of each facility are in charge of in-house or in-apartment gas equipment. And obviously, in order to supply gas, one needs a contract for technical maintenance of gas supply equipment. This must be made with what the law calls specialized organizations. We have a number of these organizations in 66 different regions of Russia. So gas distribution companies are qualified as specialized organizations, and they compete in the market of such services. I can tell you that as of the 1st of January 2019, 23 million contracts have been made in total, which represents 87% of all gas off-takers. Now, the outstanding 13% handled by other specialized organizations, other suppliers of such services, or there is no contract at all. One of the reasons for no contract is an extremely liberalized market where no constraints made available for the so-called independent suppliers of gas technical maintenance services. Hence, any company is welcome to come out as a player, very often lacking professional competence to do the job. Some companies, some apartment building management companies simply reject a contract. That happens as well. Also, on numerous occasions, there is a contract lacking for apartment buildings with no management company, so we don't have anyone to talk to. Most of the incidents we have, including those with media interest, happen for a number of reasons outlined in page 16, that is illegal interference with gas supply equipment with no flow, no airflow in chimney pipes and ventilation. Mostly, that is 62%, is CO poisoning, That is not part of the gas supply equipment. That is about ventilation, a must-have in every house. 10% is illegal connection to gas supply. We have certain regions leading the charts. And then 25% is about blast of gas and air mixture. Not all ovens are equipped with dedicated safety valves. And then, you know, in certain obsolete houses, we have obsolete ovens. Sometimes you get surprised that these can be operational. But this is property of the off-takers, and Gazprom or its affiliates or subsidiaries have nothing to do with those. And then again, there is there are certain gaps in the regulations. These activities, gas-related activities, are not subject to regulatory oversight by government agencies that must, in our view, supervise proper technical condition of gas equipment in apartment buildings and otherwise. We invest significant effort to minimize the number of incidents and ensure safety of gas in households. For example, we have transitioned to a uniform technical and maintenance policy, and we did awareness raising for safe use of gas in households. I was CEO of Gazprom Gas Raspredelenie. That was from 2008 to 2013, and we distributed books for kids across the country. There was a child superhero called Gazik moving around the country and popularizing efforts to ensure safe use of gas and raise awareness. Now, we're also working to get to 100% of gas equipment maintenance contracts, so that's a must-have, 100%. And we must be competitive against independent supplier of similar services. Additional safety measures for safe use of gas are a possibility too, and we consider those on a case-by-case basis individually. So we clearly have a good understanding with nearly every region that specialized organization with experience and responsibility of their professional teams must be in charge of the maintenance exercise. In order to improve safety, we have come up with the following initiatives. Actually, there is a longer list available in the presentation. I'm not going to read through the slides because we want to improve quite a few bits of the regulatory framework. I can tell you this. The focus of this initiative is ensure is to require licenses from the specialized organizations offering gas equipment maintenance services. And as you can see, quite often it so happens that people die due to CO poisoning rather than the gas blast. So ventilation must be ensured as well. And then we want to recognize in-house gas supply equipment in an apartment building to be a uniform system legally rather than individual systems owned by each apartment, and thus we'll be able to maintain the full system within the communal areas of the house and also each individual apartment where it approaches the oven. Now we want the customs union technical regulations to have provisions for at least newly produced, newly manufactured equipment to have safety valves and safety systems. This could help us avoid a situation when the gas, like for example, modern ovens would cut off gas supply should the flare come down, while older ovens don't have the safety system. We want technical regulations of the customs union to provide that such system is a must-have for all newly manufactured ovens. Also, we would like to get back to the mandatory check of all connections with excessive pressure. You know how this used to be in the past. A gas inspector would come, then put some soap foam on the connection joint. This looks very simple, and we have more modern means to check that, but this check is required in our view. Now, one extra measure we undertake is to handle gas pipelines with no apparent owner, legal owner. These seem to be still abundant, like 9,400 of those, 9,400 kilometers of those. And you remember the total length is 745,000. So 9,400 of those who are not legally owned by anyone. These include pipelines within the municipal areas or rural areas that have not been taken onto the balance of those municipalities, and also pipelines built by communal farms of the Soviet Union, which no longer exist. Now, the pipelines do exist, of course. By law, we are supposed to cut off gas supply via those systems because these have the potential risk of an incident or even an accident, such as a blast, and hence have a major public danger attached. But in this case, a lot of households who duly pay for their gas supply would be cut off as well. So, in most cases, the actual situation is well known, but there is no design documentation and maintenance documentation. And given that, we can't register our right to have it as our property. So the only way to go is to register that as lost property and then register that as property of the municipality afterwards with a contract for maintenance made between our company and the municipality after that as a next step. We have proposed an amendment into Article 8 of Federal Law Number 69 on gas supply in the Russian Federation to define further operations with pipeline with no owner. So we want to provide for administrative responsibility of the local municipality in case the pipeline has been identified as such with no particular owner and no effort is taken to take that onto the balance sheet. Now, as soon as a pipeline is registered as a municipal property, a technical maintenance contract must arise pretty much automatically. But this doesn't happen quite unfortunately, and we have quite a lot of unattended pipelines which are potentially hazardous. Now, we have certain portions of the pipeline that are owned by third parties rather than Mezhregion Gas, and physically, those are not in abundance, but still available. So we propose that each third party owning a pipeline must enter into a dedicated agreement for technical maintenance or provide those services professionally on their own. Should they fail to comply, administrative liability must follow for failing to provide adequate technical support for violation of gas technical regulations. Now, I would like to say a few words about this point. Back in 2008, as I became the CEO of Gazprom Gaz Распределение, the gas distribution networks of Gazprom, we decided to increase the share of polyethylene, underground polyethylene pipes for their technical properties and the costs involved and the possibility to have them laid underground, given their resistance to corrosion. This is these are really easy to install. You don't have to insulate them, and the lifetime is much longer than a metal pipe. So the most important thing is that we have changed the course towards such pipelines, especially for new construction, with very few exceptions. This chart on page 22 explains what we're doing in this regard. So we would like to get away from those metal pipes crossing roads, especially in the south of Russia, in the form of those large frames. We want them to come underground. We want to increase the share of polyethylene pipes and reduce the share of metal pipes. We want to put those pipelines underground. Gazprom Межрегион Gas Group is involved very actively in improving the regulatory framework. I see this as my core objective as the CEO of Gazprom Межрегион Gas. We must improve Russian laws and bylaws to improve payment discipline and further increase reliability of gas supply and safer operations of Gazprom and its subsidiaries, as well as other third parties. We have drafted a number of bills, but I don't have too much to share. We have just started for a month now, and over that month nothing has happened. But at least we hope to get some new good regulations, such as the damages for illegal connection calculation, for example. That is a very good thing, because many people in Russia think it's very simple. No, it's not. And then I would like to underline it yet again. We must improve the maintenance procedures for in-house and in-apartment equipment, further reinforce payment discipline. That's exactly what Gazprom Межрегион Gas is doing currently. I'm not going to bore you any further. Now, your questions, please. Over to questions. Please go ahead, sir. Vyacheslav Sukhanov from Kommersant Prikamye newspaper. Question to both of you. Former management of Gazprom Межрегион Gas discussed this with our region to build a second unit of a gas liquefaction facility. I'm wondering if the project is still alive and do you intend to carry on with further construction or at least discussing that project with the regional authorities? And then again, what other subjects are you going to discuss with regional authorities? Which are the points of contact in this regard? Again, which region are you representing? The Perm region. Okay. We do have a dedicated program within Gazprom to construct 331 mini liquefaction plants. I'm very close to liquefied gas, frankly speaking, because over the last 5 years I was involved in LNG technologies and construction of two LNG facilities. I can tell you that it's a good solution for certain autonomous areas, where the length of the pipeline and the volume of consumption would make it very challenging from the cost side. And obviously, we would need a liquefied gas supply to such areas. Currently, the program envisages 31 liquefaction facilities. To my knowledge, it is still subject to approval by PGC Gazprom, and hopefully, very soon, that will be disclosed publicly. We believe this is a great opportunity to foster the gasification program for the country, the full gasification, as Mr. Miller discussed in his meeting with the Russian president. Thank you. Any further question, please? Interfax. Anton Hoshchenko, Interfax. Mr. Gustav, good afternoon. Mr. Miller mentioned in April that Gazprom is ready to commence its effort to automate contract management system for new connections. When is that coming online, and what are the targets for this effort? Maybe this could be helpful to improve efficiency of your sales as well as collection of payables. What do you think? I can tell you this, the program is still very early in its implementation phase. The subject matter is quite clear and obvious. However, we understand a lot of questions are still undecided on the technical side. This has commenced already, but I can tell you the hurdles we're facing at this point. Certain smart contracts are on the agenda as part of the program, which are not provided for in the regulatory framework, so we need amendments into the current laws, which would provide for those smart contracts to be acceptable. But we see a clear prospect in undertaking that effort, and we'll definitely be doing it. So for now, we want to make sure that our current software is improved and grows into the uniform space, as we call it, for further automation effort looking forward. Thank you. Next question. Question on Chuvashia. I represent a newspaper called Soviet Chuvashia. In the course of 2019, the capital of our republic is celebrating its 550th anniversary, and next year we'll be celebrating 100th anniversary of the autonomous Chuvash Republic. We are nearly 100% gasified, so we have gas pretty much everywhere. However, there are certain white spots on the map where we still lack gas. I'm wondering, what is the future for Zavolskaya area within Chuvashia? So there is a pipeline expected in Zavolskaya area. And by the way, I would like to use this opportunity to invite both of you, Mr. Sukhov and Mr. Gustav, to celebrate the anniversaries in our republic. Thank you. I am really keen to visit Chuvashia, especially to see the celebrations of 100th anniversary of the Chuvash Autonomous Republic and the 550th anniversary of the capital of Chuvashia. When is that happening? That would be mid-August. Mid-August this year, 550th anniversary of Chebuksari. Okay. The territory of Chuvashia is well provided with gas, as you have rightly put it. However, regarding Zavolskaya area, well, Gazprom Mezhregion Gas has already completed the design phase, and next year will commence construction of the pipeline called Kakshamari, which is not within Chuvashia, but it's within Mari El Republic, Zunigrad region. But this pipeline will source gas to the Zavolskaya area of Chuvashia. And also, we have a rural area pipeline, which is part of the gasification program, too. I can tell you that we expect to complete these facilities in 2021, so you'll have gas by that time. Thank you. Next question, please. I have a question to Mr. Gustav. Portal, Lipetsk Media Portal from Lipetsk. So in your presentation, you have mentioned that what you call specialized organizations can handle gas equipment maintenance services, and such organization can represent gas distribution companies. In the region of Lipetsk, competition for this market is really getting uncivilized, let me put it this way. Contracts have been made and pretty much in full, 100%, but this does not prevent third parties from entering apartments of the local population and imposing their services under the pretext of selling gas sensors or fire alarms or something. We have had instances of gas leaks after the installation of such a sensor. It was a miracle that nothing bad happened, and the situation was fixed. I'm wondering whether you're undertaking any steps to get a legal solution to such challenging situations and make sure that the gas distribution networks get into one single pair of hands. I think I have already mentioned it in my presentation, the challenge of technical maintenance of in-house and in-apartment gas equipment is a major thing. Following the deregulation of that market, I have mentioned the target of 100% of technical maintenance contracts. That is true. However, this happens in a very competitive environment. We do have certain regions where we have 100% of contracts with an hour share of the market. But we always need to win tenders to be part of that market. In my presentation, I already mentioned that the licensing procedure has been streamlined as much as possible. So it's just a notification. Two or three people can come together and notify the government authorities. They want to be a player in that market. They can bid in tenders and obviously drive the price down and manage to win. This results negatively. This has a negative impact on the quality of services and, more than that, on the safety of gas equipment operations. Given that situation, we propose the need for stricter licensing when a company in question would be required to present their resources and personnel and at least response and dashboard. So obviously, smaller players would not be able to break through. And regarding your question about gas sensors, there is always a spike of interest. Whenever there is an accident, such as was the case in Magnitogorsk, that was a huge tragedy indeed. But following that, there appears a number of people who try to sell gas sensors. In theory, these are supposed to inform their owner of a gas leak. They could be connected to the pipe as well, but they cannot be called a safety system at all, because as Gazprom Mezhregion Gas sets these up, we use sensors that are connected with valves. And in case gas enters into the room, the valve is triggered and gas supply is cut off. So obviously, that kind of service is an offer. What can I recommend to you? Obviously, before you let someone in, even if they're saying they represent a gas service company such as Mosgas, you must read their badge or ID, because people who are entitled to service the gas equipment must carry a dedicated ID with a registered format. Now, in case you believe the ID is valid, you dial 04. Everyone knows this number, 112, and just check. And if they propose to buy a gas meter, I really suggest that you discuss this with an employee of a specialized organization. And I can tell you that if you call 04, if any citizen of Russia calls 04, will definitely have an audio recording of that call, and you'll definitely get personnel properly equipped and uniformed people with good ideas who'll be happy to advise you and offer good technical service of the gas equipment. Otherwise, you know, there are all sorts of crooks in the market, and we must fight against them. Okay, next question. Good afternoon, Mikhail Belikov from Yarnovosti Media, representing the region of Yaroslavl. I have the following question. In 2017, as the gasification program for the Yaroslavl region was recommenced, the outstanding receivables from the region stood at 2.3 billion rubles. A dedicated effort was undertaken to restructure that debt, but it's not met, so the number is now up to 2.9 billion rubles. Given all of that, I'm wondering whether Gazprom is going to change its policy, given the outstanding debt, in terms of allocating investments for the gasification program and the Gazprom to Children program. So that comes from Mikhail Belikov, Yarnovosti. Mikhail, I think it's very straightforward. Gazprom's policy in this regard is not going to change. And we do have social support programs and the gasification programs, and a prerequisite to that is to ensure regularity of ongoing payments, while the older debt, and we know the sources of those, Mr. Fyodorov from Gazprom Energy Holding, who knows quite well why we have issues in Tver, Yaroslavl, Vologda, and Arkhangelsk. Once the schedule has been signed off and once the conditions are met, the particular region of the Russian Federation can bid to be part of the gasification program. Once the leadership of a dedicated region know the degree of their responsibility and meets their liabilities, Gazprom is happy to meet them halfway, because you understand that it's absurd to build a pipeline in a region which is not paying for gas. That's nonsense, sir. Next question, please. I have a question to Mr. Gustov. Well, since you are in charge now, and my name is Viktor Smirnov from 47 News. Has Senator Arashukov received any money? If yes, are you going to sue him? If not, whether you're going to sue him for your reputation damages. So he definitely got money as an advisor to the CEO of Mezhregion Gas. Gazprom often sues for reputational damages, so he is not an employee of Mezhregion Gas now. That is a very well-known case in the media, and obviously the law enforcement agencies are involved in the investigation. In this regard, reputational damages are obviously there because, much has been said about it by many parties, but let's actually wait for the outcome of the investigation. Let's wait for the court hearing question. So you're not going to do that, right? No, not yet. And I'm fully supportive of Mr. Gusto here. The investigation is still on. We keep track of the situation. As soon as the decision has been made, then we'll see. It's up to the investigation team whether the court will hold him liable or not. Well, I can tell you that we are fully cooperative with the investigation. We share information, we provide expertise, we offer the time of our employees who know the technical matters. We're as open as possible to make sure that the investigative team and then the court make the right decision. Thank you. Next question. Good afternoon. Olga Shamova from ORT Planeta, representing Orenburg region. In February, chairman of Gazprom's board of directors held a meeting and raised the question of Orenburg region, like 73 heat supply networks out of 81 coming from Orenburg region lack payment discipline. How's the situation today and whether it's going to affect the gasification program for Orenburg? Well, first and foremost, know that yesterday, Mr. Denis Paslev, your acting governor, had a meeting with our chairman of the management committee, Mr. Alexei Miller. I know they had a very long discussion and a very productive one indeed. They have signed a schedule back in May last year for 81 heat supply networks. That is a schedule of repayment which was supposed to be delivered until the year of 2019. There is still 619 million rubles outstanding, and there is further increase of about 200 million by now. So, as of the 1st of January 2019, the receivables amount reached 920 million rubles. So, the governor is going to have a meeting with his staff representing districts where the situation with the debt is particularly grave. Now, the region has committed to no increase of debt in the course of 2019. Unfortunately, we're not happy with the current schedule as it is. Hopefully, we can finish regulating that together with Denis Paslev, the acting governor. We have known him for many years. Well, he knows surely that gas must be received with the remuneration involved, and we're fully supportive of his efforts, of course. Okay, next question. Good afternoon. I represent the region of Astrakhan, Volga Regional News Agency. According to the energy efficiency law, each household owner with gas heating was supposed to set up a gas meter by the 1st of January 2019. Whether this has been executed already, whether that is the case now, and what's going into the future? This requirement is indeed part of the law. The new edition of gas supply law does have it. And the region of Astrakhan is lagging behind every other region in executing this particular requirement. And this law in general, Gazprom Gaz Raspredelenie Astrakhan, our subsidiary in your region, has a day-to-day focus on it. We now have Mr. Vladimir Kameka, a very clever director, who has replaced the previous CEO who has been arrested. So about 7,000 off-takers have failed to comply with the gas metering requirement set up by the 1st of January this year. The new management of our branch there has already filed letters with every off-taker to have a visit to define the possibility to set up a meter. 2,300 acts have been signed in this regard. And I can tell you that the new leadership of Gazprom Gaz Raspredelenie Astrakhan is very professional, and within a very short time frame, this problem is going to be resolved, because it's only a matter of awareness raising and just a regular house after house inspection. Thank you. Next question, please.
Я представляю Тверскую область, портал газета.
representing Afanasy Business Portal from Tver region, Olga Versova here. I know that yesterday PGC Gazprom held a series of meetings involving a representative or several representatives of the region of Tver. Before that, there were lengthy talks about how to settle the outstanding debt from Tver region. It was considered that heat chain and gas-related facilities could be handed over to Gazprom, and then some restructuring could be involved with certain subsidies to companies and off-takers with a particularly large debt using public funding from the regional budget. And a lot was said about payment discipline, which can be improved with the help of a uniform settlement center. So which of these steps are going to be a reality, and what is the final outcome of yesterday's meeting, unless that's a secret, of course? Which of these measures would you consider most efficient? Thank you. Quite unfortunately, the region of Tver is probably one of the most challenging regions in Russia, with the exception of the Northern Caucasus republics. So in terms of receivables, that is a challenge in Tver. And we are negotiating regularly with the government of the region. Certain results have been achieved by now, according to our knowledge. And indeed, there was a meeting chaired by Mr. Viktor Zubkov yesterday, and the governor of the region of Tver is saying they're going to consolidate municipally owned and regionally owned gas-related equipment to set up a municipal gas and heat supply company with the possible privatization of that afterwards. Money received from the privatization could be streamed to settle the debt. And the repayment schedule, we have a decision for Tverskaya Generatsiya, LLC, to pay in installments. That was signed in February 2019. It's too early to say how efficient it has been. Unfortunately, the company, which now has 5 years to settle the debt, hasn't started paying as yet. Hopefully, after yesterday's informal discussion, the regional government will get more constructive and start tackling all the issues of their utilities, because the heat and power stations are inefficient, really, because they were designed for a particular volume of steam to be generated, but the actual consumption today is different. Heat supply networks available across the region, which have significant debt, they have gone bust, their equipment have been taken over by other businesses. Well, fortunately, the governor understands the challenges today, and he's really eager to resolve the situation. Yesterday, Mr. Viktor Zubkov held a meeting, as I have said already, and he's the chairman of our board of directors, Mr. Zubkov. So I hope implementing the protocol, which cannot be fully disclosed as of now, will lead us to success in the nearest future. Why so? Because, well, the tariffs are extremely low. The consumption norms are extremely low, and if you take a look at the numbers up front, you may think that the region of Tver is not so close to Moscow, but something somewhere very far away. Well, at least there is confidence arising from yesterday that a certain path can be outlined. Thank you. Next question in row three. Mr. Gustav, I have another question. You have just mentioned the region of Perm yet another time as a region with challenging new connections. I think we are on that list for the third time running. What is our region doing wrong, and what propositions do you have to help us get out of the list? I have met your governor about 10 days ago. He's well briefed on our subject. We really share a common language. So the head of the region clearly understands the situation and the problems with receivables. There is a certain issue with getting in sync with our construction schedule for new pipelines. For example, we have taken gas to dedicated boiler units, and the region have failed to alter that for the consumption of gas rather than coal. So what we have agreed with the governor is this. In the past, we considered reducing the pace of debt buildup. So we have got away from this wording now. What we're talking today is reducing the debt. In the nearest future, we expect to sign a new schedule of payments. And now the regional budget has allocated 1.5 billion rubles to rebuild the gas. The heat distribution chain network in the regions, with the help of new, more efficient technologies available to burn gas for the purposes of heat production, while the tariff remains flat, there will be a source of funding to resolve the issue of debt from gas heat distribution networks. We have considered jointly what Petrogradsky district in St. Petersburg has done. I can reaffirm that your governor is very well briefed, very well informed, and I'm confident that we can achieve a good result in the near future. Well, colleagues, thank you. We have some media representatives available from Moscow by video link. Let's listen to them. Your question, please. Good afternoon, colleagues. I represent RIA Novosti. My name is Tatiana Kudryashova, and I have a question on gas sales at the commodity exchange. Very recently, deputy head of the Federal Anti-Monopoly Service announced that they would expect to see an increase to 35 BCM of commodity exchange sales coming as early as mid-2020. And most of that volume will be coming from Gazprom, according to him. My question to you is whether Gazprom is supportive of this initiative, and whether that is really on the agenda, given that last year you have reduced your volume, and also whether this threshold of 35 BCM will still be there for Gazprom. Thank you for your question. Well, this is nothing new. First of all, in the course of 3 years, we have been discussing that. First, we talked 25, then we talked 35 BCM threshold. In parallel, other propositions were made available, which put Gazprom on an unequal footing as compared to independent gas producers. As a result of that work, we are very close to approving amendments into the bylaw number 320, that's a decree of the Russian government, suggesting the threshold of 35 BCM. Further, constraints such as sales parity as compared to independent supplies have been taken down. Now, Gazprom has reconfirmed its position on a number of occasions. We are supportive of increasing the volume of commodity sales. We are ready to bring those volumes onto the exchange market, subject to certain steps as well, such as the parity rule and the ceiling for the maximum volume. So we are supportive of increased sales volume on the exchange. So do I follow you? The threshold of 35 billion remains for Gazprom, right? Answer, yes, that's what we're talking about now. In the past, that was 25, now it's 35. Thank you. Next question. Good afternoon, Lyudmila Podobyadova from RBC. Can you disclose your plans to cut off non-paying off-takers, including heat distribution networks, in the upcoming season, the non-heating? I'm not referring to the heating season in the winter, but in summer. Maybe there are any off-takers you plan to cut off in Northern Caucasus, and whether there has been any protest against that in the course of 2019. Let me start, and then Mr. Gustav will take over. We do not have such plans. We are talking about an ongoing effort now, so we can't say we plan to cut off any non-paying customer, because, again, those non-payments come and go. It's not a systemic thing. In the Northern Caucasus, well, in each republic, in each dedicated Mezhregion gas affiliate, we have a dedicated plan to tackle the holders of our receivables. That includes law enforcement agencies whom we bring in, and we have shared the stats, and also imposed limitation for gas consumption unless other measures prove effective. We are going to impose constraints, and in extreme cases, these could be cut off. Next question. Can I ask to follow up, which is the largest debt of all industrial off-takers as of today or as at the end of the year? Well, I don't think I can single out any particular individual non-paying company. Industrial off-takers are paying well. We have most issues with households and heat distribution networks. Thank you. Next question, please. Good afternoon. I'm Dmitry Konstantinov from Gas Industry Magazine. I have a question about the digital transition of gas supply. Which digital innovative technologies have been implemented on the payment side as well as gas distribution management and any controls? Well, I think we have discussed it already. Mezhregion Gas is working to transition to the uniform IT. So that effort is ongoing to be more systemic in managing gas supply based on the volume of gas required in each individual area. This effort obviously needs improvement, because we need to have something very simple, so, as simple as meters, which are not always available with every off-taker. Moving on, these must be smart meters rather than simple meters with some more intricate software. So as of today, a lot of effort and investment is required in order to prepare that digital transition. I can give you two numbers. So the uniform IT environment that Mezhregion Gas is currently shaping, like 85% of the off-takers are not even visited, because I'm talking about industrial off-takers, of course, because we do get online readings from the meters, and then so 82% of all delivery volumes are accounted for automatically. We want to raise that further to 90% of all gas consumed by industrial off-takers. and a dedicated subject is and a standalone thing is about metering for households. You have heard it all about the gas meters. So we have the intention of connecting gas distribution network to the regional distribution networks so that we could single out individual gas supply zones, and that would help us identify illegal connections to pipelines and tackle gas losses. Thank you. I'm wondering whether blockchain is being considered in the field of gas supply. You may have missed this earlier in the press conference. So we're looking into that new technology. But in order to do that, we need the meters, first and foremost. So once we get the meters, we'll get the blocks. And then smart contracts could be put in place. And again, smart contracts are not provided for in the current regulations, so we'll need some further time to adapt these products to the new reality here. Thank you. I see in real time that we have some media reports from this press conference already. So let's keep going. Over to St. Petersburg, third row. Good afternoon. I represent Ivanovsk region's 1000 INF web portal. I'm wondering how Ivanovo region is doing in terms of its gas debt as compared to other regions, and whether the new sporting facility could be affected, and investments into the gasification program, whether you're going to hurdle any major investment projects in the agricultural industry. For example, Dimov is planning to build a farm and pig farm, whether that is going to be hurdled. So out of the top of my head, Ivanovo does belong to the regions where we keep designing facilities as part of the gasification program to ensure sufficient supply of gas in Gavrilovo-Posadsky district. That's the pig farm you mentioned. So the technical possibility will come in 2019, that's phase one, and in 2020, phase two. We also want to provide gas to apartment buildings in the same district. So in 2019, we'll design a pipeline to get those connected, such settlements as Yaroshevo, Zagorodnaya, Novosyolke, Berezhok, and others. Last week, we unexpectedly decided to have a gas supply to a nun's monastery. I don't think I can remember the name. So the nuns have filed an application with us. We think it is feasible, and we'll get gas into that monastery as well as four adjacent settlements and villages. So they have 375 households and four boilers, which are going to get gas in 2019 and 2020. Row four, please. Kursk region, and represents a newspaper called Kursk as well. In 2018, we asked the same question about debt owed to you by companies under the Ministry of Defense. That resulted in major media impact. Also from the media, from the Ministry of Defense, we got a number of comments saying that the debt is not that significant. So it has been in place for a number of years, and the situation is still there. Whether any progress is expected in working with the Ministry of Defense? Thank you. Well, in his part of the presentation, Mr. Suchov, well, actually, it's his part of the presentation, but let me answer. The outstanding receivables from the Ministry of Defense to Gazprom Group, including Gazprom Energy Holding, Gazprom Teplenergy, and also Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, stands as of the 1st of April at about 12 billion rubles. You have mentioned a number of companies under the Ministry of Defense. Given the bankruptcy procedure is challenging for companies owned by the Ministry of Defense because they actually don't have any property. They do operate boiler units, and they got those for free or for a tolling scheme, for a tolling arrangement. In any case, the problem must be resolved, and the amount in question is quite significant. We have Mr. Viktor Zubkov's letter to that is chairman of our board of directors to the Minister of Defense to tackle this problem so that sources could be identified and timelines set for this debt to be settled. So that's a nationwide problem, frankly speaking, and I think we'll need the government to get involved as well. That is not only about Kursk. This matter is being handled countrywide, and we're confident that we'll come to an agreement with the Ministry of Defense. Next question, representing the Republic of Karachaево-Cherkessia. Our region is well known for its ski resorts and other recreational areas. Contribution to the development of the region is absolutely important. What are the prospects to get gas into our region, especially given that the Russian president has mentioned it in one of his speeches? Well, in the course of 2019, we are going to keep designing two facilities in this regard. So we're building 9 facilities in total in the region of Karachaево-Cherkessia, including a village-to-village pipeline reaching out to Verkhnya Tibir Dam. In the course of 2020, we'll be able to supply gas to Dombai ski resort, which is just fine, a great place. And also the facilities in the valley. We are confident that the snow in Dombai will become even whiter, and white snow would last longer in spring, so the season will be extended. Okay, next question. Thank you. Комсомольская правда, Оксана Лазуткина. So, Mr. Gustav, given a number of incidents and even accidents when in-house equipment is used illegally, we often hear rumors that gas equipment must be banned in apartment buildings. The existing ones must be converted to electric ovens. And what would be the Mezhregion Gas's position? You know that very tall buildings cannot have gas ovens already. So if I'm not mistaken, it's up to 9 floors only, 9 stories. I can tell you that, our country produces more gas than any other country, or nearly more than anyone else. We are the largest country in terms of gas reserves, so obviously gas must be used. And could be used, and it's definitely very simple to use gas in house. There is a set of very simple rules that must be followed. Having successfully resolved the issues that I have just outlined will enable us to use the Russian-produced gas in a safe way. I can tell you that this attitude to gas being shaped currently is going to be countered by Gazprom, because gas is a great thing. It's a good product. So it burns directly and converts into heat energy directly without the extra conversion stages, because actually you burn gas to generate electricity. And you know, if you put your fingers into a power socket, you may be in danger. But we don't do that because we follow simple safety rules. So I'm calling for safe use of gas in the houses. We'll try to raise awareness in the country, because it's Russian-produced gas, it can be and must be used in this country. Okay, so we have been working for more than 1 hour and 20 minutes. Any questions from those who have not asked their question yet? Please go ahead. Good afternoon. I represent RZN.info from Design Region, obviously a gasification program. The current level of gasification exceeds 90% on the average. Whether that is coming up in the nearest years and whether it makes any sense to take it to 100%. Thank you. Well, 100% gasification in the region of Rizan or in the country in general cannot be achieved. We are only discussing feasible gasification efforts here. For Rizan region, as of the 1st of January, it's 96.2%, actually. So it's 99.1 in cities and 76.6 in the rural areas. Actually, Rizan region has the highest level of gasification than any other region in the country. No one else can boast of that amount. And then again, what is 100% gasification? Because the settlements and cities are growing. New off-takers come up. So you cannot achieve 100% by definition, because new off-takers show up. That's not the self-defining goal. We're going to strive for it, though. Okay, colleagues, thank you for your questions. We have more questions from the webcast, but we don't have the time, actually, because there must be another press conference to be started in Moscow. We'll try to tackle those questions we get from the webcast in writing. Thank you, everyone, for your attention. Goodbye.